Today on the Game Boys podcast, we've got a delayed Nintendo Direct, Civilization 6 on the Switch, and I'll talk a little bit about the Poly Mega console coming out, and Bowman has no topics.
Nothing.
Tune in. Hey everybody, welcome back for another exciting episode of the Game Boys podcast. My name's Pat, and here I've got,
My name is, Christopher,
Christopher No Topics.
That's me.
Okay.
Good to be here on the show.
It's alright to have you. So, today, talk a little bit about the Nintendo Direct that didn't happen, but first...
Let's talk about that sushi we ate.
Yeah, let's talk about that sushi. We just got back from an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet. And this is not your ordinary sushi buffet. Because I wouldn't even really call it a buffet. I would call it just all-you-can-order, really.
It's yeah.
Fresh-made. And
it's really
not
good.
Fresh-caught. There's no ocean nearby.
No.
But
it's tasty. They'll fry it for you.
What'd you think of the sushi buffet?
Oof. I'm feeling very full, so it was good. I goofed a little bit, ordered the fried rice, and at the end ordered edamame, and they gave me like a giant plate of edamame after I ate like three whole rolls of sushi and like all this other stuff.
Goza. See, my rule is when you're in a place where you can all you can eat expensive fish, don't order the 5 cents a pound rice to eat.
Yeah.
So I did not goof like that, and all I had was I ate a lot of sashimi. Lot of it.
Yeah.
And it was good. So I got my daily protein intake for the day. I must have eaten at least 50 pieces of sushi while we were there. And how else what have you been up to? Anything?
I've just been
playing. What games have you been playing?
Thimbleweed Park. I'm okay. Almost done with that one. It's a, I got it. You have it too. It's the, they did a limited run of it recently for PS4 and Switch, so I just had my copy.
I do have that game.
And I was a big fan of Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle growing up, and some of the creators who worked on those games, a lot of them worked on those games, are involved in Thimbleweed Park. So it's lots of tongue-in-cheek references to Lucasfilm, old adventure games. You control 5 characters total, and you switch between them to solve puzzles. And I like it a lot because it does a good job with people who are not good with those games, and also people who really are like the challenge in those games. Because there's a casual mode where it like skips a lot of puzzles, makes everything simple. Yeah, pussy mode. Don't do that mode. And there's hard mode, which is basically just classic point-and-click adventure game. And the cool part is that even when you kind of just get like, because I loved those games as a kid, but there'd be, like, certain puzzles where, like, mm-hmm. it's the most, like, obtuse, like, solution to it.
Yeah.
Where you just never would have thought that one item, like, in one area was going to be, like, used right. for this puzzle. So there's actually, like, a hotline you can call in the game, and, like, it does a good job not spoiling things if you don't want it to. Like, it'll be like, what do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, well, what about this? And it gives you like a vague hint,
right?
And then after that, you can call back and be like, "All right, but really?" And it'll tell you like directly what to do.
Okay.
So, I think it's pretty cool.
How does it rank compared to Spy Fox?
Spy Fox. I didn't play Spy Fox, so I can't really give like a real honest journalism
That's a shame.
Opinion on that.
That's a shame.
I know of those games. I know of that
game. It's a point and click adventure game.
Yeah, it really is. It's like Putt-Putt Adventure is a point and click adventure
is
game.
Is it?
Putt-Putt, yeah, it's a...
Spy Fox is probably a lot harder. That was like for the older kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it like a... did they have like different subjects for it?
No, you were a spy. So you were just going around solving a crime. There was different games and... You'd go around and solve a crime, and you'd have like your special tools that did like dumb shit, like explodable toothpaste and stuff.
So this wasn't like an edutainment game, was it? I thought it was. No,
oh, okay. It was of that same company.
Oh,
but
really?
It was not. As far as I can remember, it wasn't very, very educational.
Did you not play any many click and point adventure games growing up at all? No. You weren't really like an old PC gamer growing up at all.
I didn't play really PC games until like the mid 90s when like 3D, like Duke Nukem, and I played like a lot of like strategy games like Age of Empire and Red Alert and stuff like that. But no, I didn't play a lot of point and click adventure games at all. Unfortunately, Spy Fox is it. I was solely a Spy Fox boy.
We played a lot growing up. We used to go to like old used PC stores because my family, we'd bought whatever. So we'd go into like a used PC game store and we bought old click and point adventure games. Played like Goblins Quest, played Maniac Mansion. We had, well, and also we had Monkey Island for Sega CD. We played it through that. So I've always just had a big soft spot for these games, and I think it really does a good job. But I also am really thankful for the Hotline thing because it's getting to the point where I'm like, all right, I kind of want to just get this ball rolling and finish this game because I want to play Persona 5, which is what you're playing right now.
Yeah, I'm playing Persona 5, and great, of course. I'm only 3 dungeons in. If I remember correctly, I think Persona 4 had like 8, something like that. So I'm like 25, 30 hours into the game, so I'm only like a third of the way in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's still early on in the game, so it's like it's tough because I'm coming off of Persona 4, and I played the full game of that, so I like fell in love with the characters and stuff. And I'm early on in the game, where it's just like I don't really care that much right now about the characters, or I'm not like that deep into it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it is tough for me to really compare it, but it is a lot of fun. It's got that addicting quality where I'm just like one more day. And there's already some moments where I was either I thought it was hilarious, like lost it laughing, or you know, just surprises and stuff. It's definitely got a great sense of humor, and the style is great, just the attitude of the whole game. And yeah, it's a lot of fun, and they pretty much improved on the old games in every way. So like there's a lot more stuff, like when you're on your, you know, when you like hang out with someone and then Persona 4 and like you're not in a position to like move the relationship forward, so it's just like you got like a short cut scene where they're like having fun and that's it.
Yeah,
well in this one I think if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that occasionally you'll get an option where like you're like dialogue options, and if you choose the like right one or whatever, then you know you'll get the little music symbol over their head that will further the opportunity. So, like I had a hangout with a guy who was like wanted to go to this movie, but it didn't count as one of the real hangouts, and because it was like part of the story basically, and but still like the dialogue that I chose furthered the friendship. So there's stuff like that. And yeah, they really improved the battle system for the game, where now you can, if you hit someone's weak point, you can pass your turn to someone else in the party, so you can just like quickly wipe out a weak set of enemies like immediately. Like you start off the fight, one person hits one of the monsters with his weakness, there's someone else in the party who has this other monster's weakness, so you pass it to them, they hit them, and you could just wipe out an entire group really quickly. And that's really nice, because you know, the last thing I want to do is be grinding in a 100-hour game. So, yeah, a lot of like quality of life improvements to the game, and that's, I'm very thankful for that. So, but it just sucks, because I'm still in the part of the game where like a lot of it is just like teaching me stuff and or like out of my control, where they're just like, well, we have to go do this thing today, and the game is just constantly like, I'm trying to do things at night, and it's just like, you should go to bed. It's like, great, there goes my day that I have like things I wanted to do. So it's funny to think about it that 30 hours into the game I'm still like in the first part of the game. But
kind of how Persona 4 was, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's why this game took me 2 times to get into it. The first time I played for like over a weekend, but I only played for like 6 or 7 hours, and that's nothing. Yeah. So it really takes, to even get into the meat of the game, it really takes like 10 to 20 hours before you're even playing the real, like, before you have an idea of what the game is like. If you're basing your this game off the first like 5 to 10 hours, you're, that's not what it, that's not anything like what the final product is going to be like. So, but yeah, they're great. It's a great series, and I'll be going probably into Persona 3 after this, because I never played that one.
Yeah. Well, here's to hoping that they actually do that Persona 3 remake that everyone is hoping for.
It just seems... I think that they won't... I think that they'll take advantage of the new engine they've created and do it like that and just use the assets. Because they've already got... They'll already have remastered assets because of the dancing game.
Yeah.
So they already have, like, character models and all that stuff. Like, a lot of the game is already finished because they already have the story and whatnot, too. So, yeah. I think it's a no-brainer at this point. It's just weird that they keep releasing Persona 3 stuff and, you know, wouldn't re-release it. They gave Persona 4 the re-release. So Persona 3 suffers apparently from the problem of the original version. You couldn't control your characters. You could only control the main character. You couldn't control the other characters in fights.
Yeah.
So,
but the PSP one apparently.
Right, but that's that. But that's like a watered down version where, yeah, like it doesn't have animated cutscenes or anything.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely you could use a remake. So, all right, well, let's get right into this. This is the thing that everyone's been talking about, I think, this week, which is that the Nintendo Direct that was announced Tuesday for Thursday evening was canceled Thursday morning.
Yep.
So in the span of 48 hours, they announced the Nintendo Direct, and then they canceled it the day of. Reason being that there was an earthquake in northern Japan, which was not near the Nintendo headquarters, but it was in Japan, and somebody did die. So
yeah, I think it's just a timing of two natural disasters, like, back-to-back, so...
Sure, so, well, real quick, before we get into the ethics of canceling it and, you know, whether they did the right thing or whatever, let's talk about what this Direct was, what should have been about, or what what we expect it to be about. Obviously, they need to talk about their online service. That's a given. It's just 2 weeks beforehand, before it's supposed to come out, and we don't know what it is, what we're getting.
We know plenty.
Do we?
We know it's $20 a year.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you get to play online games.
True.
With it, such as Splatoon and ARMS.
Right.
And you also get to play the hit classic Nintendo port of the arcade classic Mario Brothers with,
right,
your friends online.
Yeah, that's...
They leaked that information out.
Right. It's been an ongoing joke with us all week that Nintendo tweeted Mario Bros. They tweeted, you'll be able to play Mario Bros., the original, online with your friend. And it's just like, nobody wants to play that game. Nobody cares about that game. We're not talking about Super Mario Brothers for the NES. We're talking about the original, like, one-screen, two-player Mario Brothers game where you're just hopping around trying to collect coins and stuff. It's fine. It's a fine game, but like, it's just odd that people were just waiting. And I looked through the comments on that tweet, and it was just people just tearing them apart, like, just being like, we don't give a fuck about this. Like, you're still, I'm like, they're like, you got a couple weeks before the online service comes out, and you're tweeting this garbage. Like,
it's such a joke right now.
Yeah, so that was funny. What do you think, out of 100% chance that they're going to announce new Animal Crossing there?
I don't even want to have hopes for that at all. I'm still a firm believer that it's not happening this year. They're not making any announcements for it this year.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Well, I was kind of joking.
Yeah.
My guess would be like 10%.
Yeah, like, as much as we want it to happen, no.
But they are going to announce, so they're going to announce games for 3DS and Switch, which is interesting because I've said for a few months now, like, I really think there's another game coming, another first-party game. I don't think that Pokemon, a remake of Pokemon, and Smash Brothers, which is just a hair above a remake at this point, I don't think that's enough for a holiday season after a year of Splatoon 2, Zelda, Mario, and stuff. So I really do believe that there's, like, some hidden game here. And I've said for a few months now, they need to do another Direct. They're going to do another Direct because there's got to be other games that they haven't announced yet. So that's my assumption. And then also, there's been a little bit of details that have leaked out about the Direct. They're going to talk about the Yoshi game.
That's going to happen? Okay,
You didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Okay, so the Yoshi game popped up on their website after when the Direct was supposed to air. With the title and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's coming out in early 2019, and it's called Yoshi's Crafted World or whatever.
Okay.
Which makes sense. If you saw the footage, it's all, like, made out of cardboard and stuff.
That's cool news.
So they're 100% obviously going to talk about Yoshi on the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
And then they announced Civ 6, which we'll talk about later. They would have announced Civ 6 on the Direct because the website went up right after that with the thing saying that it would. And then they took it down after a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15 Pocket got announced.
Yeah, which looks like trash.
Which, whatever. But you know that it definitely would have been a part of that Direct.
Yeah. Which is going to be weird. Well, it's not announced. I'm pretty sure it's out now.
Well, I think it's out for PS4 and Xbox, with the Switch version coming.
Yeah. So it's going to be weird, some of the stuff that they talk about, because some of the stuff is already out or been announced.
I mean, they're probably going to have to re-edit the video. Or, I don't know. It's going to be a weird Direct now, for sure.
So I'd like to go right into this here. As far as canceling the Direct or whatever, my personal feelings are different than, like, my common sense feelings. I'm coming from a place where I'm just a greedy gamer and I just want more news, you know?
Yeah.
And my initial gut reaction was, well, there's three different branches of Nintendo, so what does it matter if there was an earthquake in Japan? Because there's Nintendo America and Nintendo Europe, and they do their own directs and shit all the time. So why not just air it in America and then air it later in Japan? But after thinking about it for a little while and stuff, like, realistically, I think anyone who's upset about this should probably, like, take a step back and consider the situation at hand and, essentially, what we're talking about here are, like, video games. Like, toys.
Yeah.
These are, like, toys, essentially. And this is a natural disaster that killed people and left some of them homeless. So, I think it's important to just put things into perspective occasionally. And, like, yeah, as a gamer, it sucks, but in the end, it's like, you know, complaining that you're in a bus crash or whatever, and you, like, spill your drink, and someone died on the bus that you're on, and you just spilled your drink, and it's just like, who's gonna pay for this drink?
Yeah,
like, it's just a very, like, it's important to take a step back and be like, these are just video games, and this is an earthquake that killed people. And I'm sure, like, left people homeless and destroyed lives.
Well, I think when I thought about it, just knowing that the work nature of Japanese companies and their work culture, it had to have been a pretty hard decision for them to even make that decision to cancel it. Like, there had to have been some solid, obviously, natural disaster is a really solid reason, but I don't think they just, like, made a quick reaction to this.
I think it might have been, like, a statement. Basically, because you're right, and I actually have heard from people that live in the area that the earthquake hit, that, like, their bosses were, like, calling them and being like, can you come into work today?
Mm-hmm.
When there's, like, a hole in the ground outside their apartment and stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's, like, some other ulterior motive or whatever there, like, they're trying to make some political statement or something like that, or just, you know, be courteous. But, like, people who are in the earthquake still have to, like, go to work and stuff. That's why it was a little strange to me that they canceled it, because, on one hand, like I said, it's an earthquake versus some toys. But on the other hand, it's essentially just a commercial. So it would be like, you know, Nike is going to air a commercial on Saturday and then they decide not to because there was a natural disaster. It's like, realistically, nobody's even going to notice if it doesn't air or if it does air. So I don't know if there's some ulterior motive or some bigger message there that they're trying to make or something like that. I know a lot of people, not just in the area that was affected, are without power.
Yeah.
So, in the end, it might not have been the best decision for them, like monetarily or whatever, fan-wise, but it was probably the best decision morally and ethically. So,
could be honest, something on, I felt that, well, I mean, through multiple people who are affected, like one person, they've been without power and they have like no, they've been having trouble getting access to water, and mm-hmm. they actually like lost communication with that friend, and they don't even know. I'm sure they're fine,
right?
But it's just knowing that, and there's a Nintendo office up there that's currently the team that worked on Mario Party is in Hokkaido.
Okay.
So I think that just, it was just a lot of respect for that. And because you're right, the work culture is pretty bad, because there was even like footage during the typhoon that happened like a day or two prior.
The dominoes.
I don't know how real that was, but
guy on a moped in the middle of a hurricane.
Middle of a hurricane. And one of my friends, the day of the typhoon, they didn't even decide to cancel work until like 11 a.m.
after everyone was already on their way there.
Yeah, and like, so like people were like, so they had to like scramble to get back to their homes and everything. And like, a lot of companies are like that. I mean, I deal with it personally.
Yeah,
maybe a place that I don't work for anymore. One time before, where it was a hassle during hurricanes over here.
Yeah.
So that'd be awesome if it really was just like a statement of just like, all right, guys, like we can like let these people get to their lives and get to the order. Like, not everything has to be constantly rushed to work.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it was a good thing for them. I'm obviously bummed because I don't live there, so I'm just just give me more news. Give me that Animal Crossing.
Anytime I think about it, I'm like, man, direct, but it's an obvious like selfish feeling where I'm like, I know it's selfish, but I just want this news now though.
Right. So you know, fingers crossed everybody for Animal Crossing.
It's gonna happen.
Sure. So, but sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Yeah. So Nintendo, the one thing that we were hoping to get out of this Direct specifically was the online information. And one thing that's coming to light recently, more specifically, because this is already kind of information that was kind of vague, pretty much like the entire online service.
Yeah.
But that there is an online cloud save system for the online service that we've already seen, like what the actual firmware and update looks like and everything. But new information points out that a lot of games will lack that ability for cloud saving.
You got a list, or?
Yeah, FIFA 19, NBA 2K19, Dead Cells, Dark Souls, Splatoon 2, Let's Go Pikachu, and Eevee.
The fuck?
And
half of those games are games I'm interested in.
Nintendo, from what I gather, basically just stated that to keep a fair playing level, because a lot of these are like online type of games.
Dark Souls I can understand, maybe. Pokemon I don't. And here's the problem, okay? I don't care about cloud saves. I care about cloud saves now because they've given me no other option.
Right.
I don't care about cloud saves. You know how many times I've used cloud saves before? Once. Just once, ever. And I've had it for years with PS4. I don't use it, ever. Because it's like, realistically, I'm not going to be moving around from place to place with, you know, I'm not going to my friend's house and booting up my Persona 5 save. It's just not something I do. And the same was going to be true for the Switch. So, if you just give me an option to put the saves on an SD card or something to just back them up in case the system breaks, I don't give a shit about cloud saves. I really don't. At this point, it should just be called cloud backup because they have given us no other option to back this shit up.
Yeah.
So that's the real problem. And it's just another example of them being further and further behind. It's like, is the longer it takes for them to get to these points where it's just like everyone else has had cloud saves and backups for years, and we're in, I mean, years and years and years, and now we're in 2018 and they're like a generation behind at best again. That is just creating even more of a gap where it's just like, okay, well, what do you think Sony's been developing for the last 7 years while they've already had been done with their cloud saves, and now you're trying to catch up to it in 2018, and now, okay, great, you're caught up, except for not really, because you're 7 years behind still. So that's the kind of situation that I think that they're in, and it's so frustrating because they're like somebody they're like that awkward loser. Like, they're like a Rain Man or something, you know? They're like a idiot savant where they're like the best game developer, period. Like, they come up with just, you know, genre shifting or landscape changing games every generation, every couple of years. Like, they just release something that's insanely good, but when it comes to everything else, they're just buffoons. Like, they just don't know what they're doing at all, and that's why it's so frustrating. It's like, man, I want to play your games, and I want you to have like a solid system, and I want things to be easy and make sense and work well together, and it's like very rarely do all those things happen with them.
Yeah.
You know, when they finally adopted the disc system, they're like, oh yeah, we finally are using DVDs. They're mini DVDs.
Well, that's what I wanted to add onto it. It's just that they constantly let their battle of piracy interfere with innovating their technology, because it's the entire... I mean, that was one of their arguing points back to the N64, why they didn't want to move to CDs, because they were afraid of security.
There's also load times, but...
I guess load time was a big part of it. But even then, they did cite security too, and then they went to GameCube, and then they did Mini because the
disc spins backwards on the GameCube as well. So I mean, at a point you're right, because at a point you have to ask yourself, how much money are you saving by getting rid of piracy versus how much money are you spending or losing by making that decision? So like. Okay, so how many people, you know, what percentage of people even pirate consoles? It's extremely low, because a lot of people just don't want to deal with it. It's a lot of hassle, especially on, like, a newer console. Like the Switch, you have to buy some special tool. There's a huge risk that you can break it or whatever. Nobody wants to do that. So, like, let's say that, like, 5% of all gamers pirate. Well... Okay, your market is like 40%, 50% tops, maybe. Let's say it's 100% of people that play games might buy a Switch. Well, you know, then only 5% of that might pirate it. Okay, but you might end up spending well more than what that 5% is earning you on making decisions. Like, you probably lost more than 5% because they're like, well... It's really stupid. There's no way to back up my games. There's no good online. I can't voice chat with my friends. You're most certainly losing more than that 5%.
Yeah, you're sacrificing the quality of your brand.
Right. That's the kind of shit that stops people from buying Nintendo consoles and making people look at it like it's baby shit. It's like, oh, I can't even voice chat with my friends and stuff. I have to use this friend code. You know, it's baby stuff. And that's how people look at it. So your typical Xbox bro gamer guy looks at it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Nintendo's that kid console where I can't even party chat with my friends on there. Mm-hmm. So, that's just my take on it.
Yeah. Who knows what else we'll find out from this online service, but a lot of it's just been really vague, and we still don't even know if the games that we receive, like we were talking about this earlier, if we're going to be even able to play them all the time, are they going to be activated from online, from being online?
It's a big question mark.
There's lots of question marks, and
we know for a fact that we'll be able to play Mario Bros. Online.
That's what I'm getting at here, is that everything we've been finding out lately has not been good.
Yeah.
And the more information we get, there's been nothing where it's like even a sliver of, oh, that could be neat. Like,
doesn't surprise me at all. Nothing. I always assumed it was going to be stupid.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're cranking me good because I'm going to get it because I play a lot of Splatoon and I have no choice.
Well, at $20 a year, I would get it just for the game, the virtual console games alone.
Get it for the Mario Brothers?
Well, because they've said Mario Brothers 3 is coming out, and I always buy that. I always buy it, and that's the first thing I do when I open up my NES Classic and played it for the first time. The first thing I did was run through and beat Mario Brothers 3, and you know that's just what I do. So when they released it for the 3DS, I did the same thing. When it comes out on Switch, the very first thing I'll probably do once they release the online service is download Mario Brothers 3 and run through it and play it and beat it. Like that's just what I do. That's who I am.
That's who you are.
Right. So just for that alone, I'll pay the $20 because it's $20 a year. I mean, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
But none of this surprises me because I don't understand why people thought that this was going to be the big turnaround, because you have to, and we've talked about this before just in our private lives, not talking about gaming. I'm not the type of person who gives the benefit of the doubt. You have to earn that for me. And they have done absolutely nothing to give them any credibility whatsoever when it comes to online stuff. They've never once made a smart decision when it comes to online stuff. So why the fuck would I ever think that now is the time? You've done nothing to show me that you have any clue what you're doing. So that's my attitude on it, and it always has been. And until they show me otherwise, I'm just going to assume that they're fucking garbage at online service. And that they've done a good job at proving me right so far.
Yep.
I mean, it, like I said, $20, though, it's like a win for me just because of the virtual console games. Assuming that they don't go away after like a month, which I don't think they will, because they're releasing 20 at a time, or 20 to begin with. So it's like they don't expect people to go through 20 games in a month.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still hoping that it's just... Well, I hope it's a... I don't know. Are you hoping for more of like a Netflix-type service from it? Or are you just hoping that you just get to claim all the games they
well,
have?
Well, hoping...
Obviously.
I'm hoping that I get to claim the game and I download it, and it's on my console, then it's on my console, and then if it goes away, as long as it's on my console, I can play it. Kind of like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Like... They didn't go into the console and be like, we're taking this away because it's not available anymore. If you have it downloaded, then you're good. Mm-hmm. But, and that's what I want is whatever they release, they say you can download whatever you want, and then in 6 months, they're going off the store, but if you have it downloaded, then you're good. I'm fine with that, and that's ideal. I don't see how they could, unless they just go into your console and be like, you're done with this, we're taking it away now. I don't even see how they could do the Netflix service type thing, because with Netflix, you don't download the movies, you're streaming them.
Well, that's what...
I don't think they could get away with that on this, because it's a portable system, and apparently, I'm an outlier. When I talk to people, I'm the weird one for always playing my Switch on the TV. Everyone I talk to plays it portably, so I don't see how you could do that. I don't see how you could do a streaming type thing.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I expect to see them just get slammed the next day. If they do that direct and they're like, yeah, it's a streaming service, you can only play these games if you're online. When you're talking about a 500 kilobyte game, you know, like they're like, seriously, we need to stream a less than 1 megabit game? Like, fuck you. And they're going to get fucking killed in the media the next day. I can't picture them doing that. I really can't. So... Ideally, you would just download the games. And if they're on there, they're on there. That's what I hope. I mean, it's like PS Plus, basically.
Yeah.
So you have this period of time to download the games, and whatever you download, you will have as long as they're on your system and you have the service. Yeah. That's how I see it. That's how it should be. So, real quick, while we're on the topic of this direct, I do want to talk a little bit about Civ 6.
Civilization 6.
Strategy, turn-based strategy game. Basically, like, the most complicated and long and awesome board game ever, like, in video game form. I don't know if you've played it much.
A little bit. Nah, I mean, it's a very long-running series, so...
Yeah.
I played it at one point.
This is really cool because this is the kind of unique type of game style that you can get when you have a console like this. Would have been great on the Wii U, too. And they really missed out on that. But this is the kind of... Because what makes this a cool announcement is, as far as I know, there has never been a Civilization game released on a home console. And when I say that, I'm not counting those Civilization Revolution pieces of shit that were like iPhone games that were just ported to PS3 and 360 or whatever. Those games are shit. This is the full game with all the expansions and stuff. I don't think, as far as I know, I don't think there's ever been a full Civilization game on anything other than a PC. So, actually, I heard that this one also might have had an iPad port, but I could see how they could do that or whatever. But yeah, this is really cool. It's the only time I've ever heard of a major console getting a Civilization game. The Switch is perfect for it because it has that touchscreen. This is actually the only game where you could legitimately say it's perfect for the Switch. It has that touchscreen, and I think that's why they're doing it. And also, the portability factor really... Because the series is well known for just being, like, incredibly addicting. The games go on forever. Like,
yeah.
You need to set aside... If you're planning on playing a game of this with, like, a friend online, you both need to set aside an entire day, and you still probably won't finish the game. It is each round, like, a full game of this is, like, 12 to 20 hours or something. Like, you're going to be there growing a beard by the time you're, like, done. And so I see I could honestly see people, like, just, like, trashing their lives because of this, because they could just never stop playing it. It's a really cool idea. I'm a huge fan of this series, and by that I just mean I've only really played 5, but it was one of those games where I played it and I just immediately got addicted to it. Put 200-300 hours into it.
Man, I never really dove into it.
Really?
I mean, all I played were the shitty American Civilization, which, yeah, those were whatever to me.
Yeah, if you like strategy games, this is on a whole nother level. Like, you can just, every single little thing has, like, a strategy to it, and you can micromanage it. You can let the computer kind of, like, manage things a little bit. Or you can get as micromanagey or as automated as you want. You can automate things so the computer just makes a calculated decision and goes, I'm going to just put your guy in farm over here. Or you can set it so it's like, I'm going to farm this spot, and then I can click on the spot, choose whether I want to prioritize money or science or whatever, and this and that, and, like, just every little thing you can just micromanage down to this or that, and it's just... It's awesome. It really is. And I'm definitely going to pick this up for sure. It's going to be a first day purchase for me.
Do you know when it's coming out?
No.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be, it was supposed to be announced on the Direct. They put up the site, and I mean, maybe there's a release date for it. They put up the site, and then they took it down once they realized that there was no Direct. So, let me just see. November 16th.
All right. Save the date.
Save the date. November 16th. So, yeah, that was cool. Any thoughts on that? You don't care? You're not a Civ guy?
Not a Civ guy. I like real-time strategy games.
This isn't a real-time strategy game.
Well, then...
That's what makes this cooler to me, is it's a turn-based strategy game. So you can
You just sit there and make a whole bunch of actions, and
you can just take your time and do all kinds of stuff at your own pace.
Sounds fun to me, then.
So you could just, if you want to be just like micromanage a guy and just be like, okay, let me just move this, do this, do this, do this. You're not in a rush. You can just be like, okay, how many gold will I get if I do this? Like, you can take your time and just make intelligent decisions.
You
like
just
that.
Make your turn. Does everyone like, how do turns work in terms of like, yeah, like, so are you and I doing our turns at the same time and we just end it, or
something like that? I'm not exactly sure how it works, how it calculates priority, but the computer has some way to calculate priority. So you're doing everything at the same time. There's like, you set a time limit. We set a time limit because there's always one guy who takes forever. So we have to set a time limit.
Okay.
And we set like a five, but it's always long. It's like you have 5 minutes to make your turn. And you have that 5 minutes, and then when you're done, you hit you're done. And once all the players hit they're done, then it does all the actions. Now, 90% of the time, whatever you're doing doesn't affect anyone else. But in the small amount of turns where you're like fighting with someone or whatever, the computer has a way to calculate who has priority and what move. So it's all really quick and automated and stuff. You have like your 5 minute turn and you're making all these decisions and stuff and you're moving guys here and there, and then you hit done, and then the computer just goes and then it's done, like real quick the turn goes, and then you have another. So that's actually what makes it really addicting, is because you're always just like one more turn. If I need three more turns and I can build the pyramids of Giza, like,
yeah.
So but that's what I like about it. It's like a really, it's like an automated, really deep board game. So, and, you know, we love strategy board games. So, yeah, you probably love it, honestly.
Yeah, I'll look into it if...
I mean, me and our other friend are getting it, so...
I'll probably pick it up at that point, too. I never really touched those games in the past because I'm just not really a PC gamer these days.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not a big real-time strategy guy. I don't like having to, like, click around real quick and really fast make a bunch of decisions and stuff. I'm a thinking man. So, on that note, let's see here. I got, here's something that I didn't decide to bring up until just now, honestly. And it's that the new Predator movie... Have you heard about this? So this popped up for
I've
you?
I've seen like the poster pop up.
No, this is totally different. So the new Predator movie has been getting some drama over the last couple days because last minute, the movie comes out in like 2 weeks, okay? Last minute change. They cut out a scene because the actor who is in the scene was found out by an actress... In the movie, the starring actress, he was found out to be a sexual predator or whatever. Like, you know, he has a record.
Yeah.
From 15 years ago or 5 years ago or something. It's from many years ago, and now there's a big battle embroiling where it's like they cut out the scene entirely.
Oh, wow.
And so the story is that he was a friend of the director. He's been in his last like three movies. Okay, so he was in Iron Man 2, I think. He was in, and he was in something else, and then now he's in The Predator. He has like a 2 minute scene. He's just some basically like one step above an extra. And they cut out this entire scene because the lead actress found out from like a friend or whatever that he had a record. Mind you, this was after they already filmed the movie and stuff. Well, now it's turned into this huge thing. She's in the news every day since it's been announced. She's going on saying, oh, she feels like she was, she's been ostracized by the cast and that the cast wouldn't talk with her or whatever. She hasn't spoken to the director since the incident. And, it's turned into this whole thing where, you know, that she says she feels isolated from the cast after the scene was cut. Now, and also she's saying now, and possibly the worst thing, the worst statement that she could have made, I think, personally, is she may quit acting after the fight to have the scene removed.
So she raised a stink, and now she doesn't want to deal with the outcome of it?
Right. So my attitude is, first of all, you are not the boss. And this guy has already had, he's already been sentenced and, you know, judgment has been cast on him. Whatever, I didn't read into his case. I didn't read into whatever he had to do, like whatever his punishment is, whether it was jail time or whatever. The fact of the matter is, this guy has been already punished one way or another and is registered as a sex offender. And he got this job, came in, did the job. Nobody was bothered by him. The scene's been long recorded and edited. And you decide to take it upon yourself to be your own judge and jury or whatever and come, like, basically further, you know, shit on this guy, which, you know, he's a sex offender. I'm not defending this guy. He's probably a piece of shit, whatever. But, you know, it's, you can't, so anyway, she decides to take it upon herself after everything's said and done to get the scene removed from the movie. I guess just so she can, I guess she was just trying to get a little taste of her own social justice fame or whatever. Just, oh, well,
we won't stand for this.
Right. And yeah. And it seems to, I wouldn't say it backfired on her because nobody's arguing with her. Like, nobody's really saying, like, you shouldn't do those things. These are my personal views of you, of this guy's already been judged. And this guy's already paid his dues. He's going to be on the sex offender list for whatever it is, 25 years or 20 years or some shit like that. You know, he has to go around his neighborhood and let everyone know when he moves, hey, I'm a sex offender. Okay if I live in this neighborhood? So my attitude is, it's not your place to go and be like, this guy shouldn't be allowed around here. You're not the director. You're not the producer. You're just some dumb actress. I know this girl, and I'm sure you do too, because she got her start on G4. It's Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
And so it's funny seeing her now as a movie star, because I see her. Nobody else knows her, but I see her, and I'm just like, I know where you come from. Like, I know where you got your start. You were nobody. Like, you just got lucky. You got on The Daily Show, and then got a couple of big breaks or whatever. She's a terrible actress. She's awful. She's in X-Men Apocalypse or whatever.
Ooh, great movie.
Yeah, and she was awful in it. But this isn't about her, and she is hot, so it's whatever. Like, I understand why she makes movies and people pay her. But, so now people, like, it's not even people, it's her own coworkers. So this is the problem, is that you've basically become this narc, this tattletale, where it's just like, just because, like, these people could have liked that guy, you know, they might have known about him being a sex offender, but he comes in, does a good job one day or 2 days or however long he filmed for, wasn't long, I'm sure, and comes in, does a good job, was friendly with people, and then you're now, and maybe this is relevant to the plot or the bigger movie at hand. It's like, you're now using your own interest to affect this movie that we just created.
Lots of hands get made in making these scenes. It's not just this one guy in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, and you're affecting someone's vision, and you're taking the part. Yeah, I mean, but I guess on the flip side of a devil's advocate, like, what are the ethics of knowing that there's a sex offender that you're working with?
But she didn't know.
Right, that's what I mean, though. I mean, like, I think that's why she was upset, maybe, because it wasn't expressly made known to them that this guy was on set and it had a history.
Sure, but that's not really fair to the guy. Like, nobody in the world is expected to go around for the rest of their life and be like, just so you know, guys, I used to be a thief.
Yeah.
Like, every time you start a new job and stuff, you don't go around airing all the mistakes you've made in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair to give people a second chance, and it's just strange to me that, like I said, everything was filmed and edited and done. So why? So anyway, it's just funny to me that it would have been fine if nothing was said about it, but now she's going on the record saying she wants to quit acting and stuff, and she can't handle the heat, basically, that she brought on herself, which there hasn't been any heat. That's what's weird about it. It's like, she's just whining to whine. Nobody has come out and been like, I can't believe that they removed the scene. I haven't seen that at all. It's just new. Like, she just can't keep her mouth shut about it, I guess. And I guess she's just trying to maybe even play. I think what we have here is someone trying to play the victim for a few minutes of fame or whatever. And that's why she originally came out and brought up the thing about her getting the scene removed. And then now she's like, oh, people are paying attention to me and, you know, buying into the story. And now, so she's like, she wants to milk that for all it's worth. So now she's going around telling people, oh, the other members of the cast have ostracized me. They left early from the screening or something. Like, she's going around just telling people, saying that,
it's been really lonely.
Yeah, it's been really lonely. And it's just, like, why? What is this? So, I thought that was,
it's not an easy thing to be the one to speak up. There are people who get mad at you for not helping them bury it. I'm sitting here by myself when I should be with the rest of the cast. That's a quote from Hollywood Reporter coming from her, and it's just, oof. Reading that is even just kind of a...
Yeah, you're right. It's not easy being that person, and you chose to be that person, then don't go around and complain about the repercussions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that someone should be punished for being like, I don't feel comfortable working with a sex offender, but at the same time, I also don't view that as punishment. Other people, you've made it clear your feelings, and they made it clear theirs. Why are your feelings more important than theirs? Where you can say, I don't want to work with this guy, and
remove his
scene, but they can't say, well, I don't really want to associate with someone who's gonna like tell on people and stuff. That's like a no-no. Even in, no matter where you're at, what your problems are, you don't run and, like, get people fired or, like, you know, rat on people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Weird story.
Yeah, it's strange, and it's funny because it comes out right before it. I only have one more other thing to talk about here, and it's the Polymega console. Have you heard about this?
No.
So, I thought of you when I saw this, but you're selling all your games off, so I guess it's not for you.
I can be persuaded to not sell all my games.
No.
just
give them to me. So, the Polymega console has come out for pre-order. You probably would recognize this if you saw it. It's that console that's got modules that you can buy and attached to it. So it's a disc-based console, and it's like essentially the Retron but with discs.
Okay.
And then, so it's got HDMI out, you can back up the discs onto the console, but also for all the cartridge-based stuff, they've got modules you can buy. So they've got a TurboGrafx module, a Sega Genesis Mega Drive module, an NES module, Super Nintendo, and
Neo Geo.
No, do they have a cartridge Neo Geo module?
I don't know if it's cartridge. Actually, no, probably the CD
space. No, so they have a so the base model is a CD console, and it plays Neo Geo CD, Sega CD, PlayStation 1, not Dreamcast, and then But the big one that they just announced the day that they opened up pre-orders is Sega Saturn.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty big deal.
Yes. So, it's open for pre-orders. I'm bringing it up here and what it supports. It's open for pre-orders. And the base model is $250, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that comes with just the CD module, I guess. And then they have a deluxe bundle that comes with all the modules here. Now, it supports, this is what's compatible with, PS1, all regions, Sega Saturn, all regions, Sega CD, all regions, Neo Geo CD, all regions, TurboGrafx CD, which is a big one, and PC Engine. NES, SNES, Genesis, and TurboGrafx. So there's four modules. And then also it supports 32X as well on the Genesis.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So pretty big stuff here. And then each module that you, is $60, it looks like, and they come with the actual piece that attaches to the system as well as a controller for the system that's accurate to the controller. It's in the style of their like console, so it's like a black controller with the color scheme or whatever. But like the TurboGrafx controller comes with like turbo switches and stuff on it.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So yeah, each module is $60. They have wireless controllers you can buy and add on to it. Yeah, the TurboGrafx looks like a TurboGrafx controller. It's got six buttons on it and two turbo switches. And yeah, so it looks like for the entire set, they lowered the price, I think, here. It wasn't this cheap the other day. So it looks like for all, like the ultimate set with all of the modules, all the attachments, and all the controllers and stuff, looks like it's, for pre-order, it's marked down to $460. So basically what you're looking at here is a console that hooks up through HDMI and outputs 1080p for natively, I think, or 720p. One of the two, but it's now the reason why I thought of you is because you recently moved into a smaller place and
don't have a CRT anymore.
You don't have a CRT anymore, and you have a HDTV, and you were interested in ways to hook up all your, without a million consoles around, interested in ways to like play all your games in an HD format or whatever easily. And this is like, I think it's like 30 consoles.
Yeah.
If you include the Japanese ones and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's like 30-something consoles. It's, you know, 3, 6, 9, 11. It's a lot here. It plays Super Graphics, too, by the way, which there was only 5 of those games. Yeah, so this is interesting. And part of the cool part of it, too, is something that they didn't do with the Retron. First of all, this looks like it's made a million times better than
the
Retron.
Yeah, it looks really nice in the pictures.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw like the interface and stuff too, but it's really nice. So part of the something that's cool that they're doing that they didn't let you do with the Retron is that you can rip your games and just leave them on the console.
Oh, that's
so you
neat.
Don't. Now, granted, like, you just download ROMs and do the same thing, I guess. Although this says on the website, and this will be changed, I'm sure, shortly after by somebody, but it says on the website that there's no way to put ROMs on the console. I mean, they'll get around that. Now, the biggest thing is the Saturn, obviously. Any of the disc-based stuff. It's huge. There's nothing like this out there that plays it. Now, obviously, the elephant in the room is this is probably all software emulation.
Yeah, so, it most definitely is.
Right. Well, I mean, theoretically, they could do it. Theoretically, they could do it because they have the modules. Each of those modules could be like FPGA or whatever.
I really doubt that.
They're not, though.
Yeah.
They haven't said, if you look on their site, so that would be something to brag about. If you look on their site and their facts and stuff, they don't mention anything about how it's being presented.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on how much of a stickler you are, but I guess it's just tough. I see somewhat of a market for this for like lower level collectors. When we started out, we thought the Retron was like a great deal.
Yeah.
So I could see that being for someone, like, not everyone needs an entire room in their house with like an, you know, 20-year-old TV hooked up and all everything hooked up through cables, and there's cables everywhere, and it's like I had to build this piece of furniture to get it to fit the consoles properly. Yeah. And stuff like, so Yeah, it's just I see there being a good market for this, for people, for like casual collectors who maybe have kept their childhood games or whatever and want to play them. For the CD stuff alone, it's interesting. Because disc-based systems pose problems.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested to see where it goes and if it will live up to the hype. Is this something that you'd be interested in, that you would buy? Or
eventually,
you're still just
going to
get rid of your games?
I'm not getting rid of all my games, so it's definitely something that's piquing my interest a little bit, but...
But are you going to buy a 200 and some odd dollar base console for a few games that you kept?
Realistically, no, but I do see this as something that could be useful in the future. Just if I do want to get back into game collecting, but I don't want to mess with all the hardwares all over again, because that did become the issue towards the end, because I'm going to continue to have an issue of space, and the consoles are the thing that take the most space up. It's always that. And yeah, it's a pain for, like, because like a lot of the things out there to make your games output in the best looking thing possible on HDTVs is really expensive. Like a Framemeister, that's like not cheap.
Yeah, it's like $400.
All the cables, it adds up. So I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of collectors will look at it and an option like this and go, you know what, like I enjoy collecting and having these things on my shelf. When it comes to playing them, I'm not overly concerned about having a purist gaming experience. I'm fine with just having the games play.
I am.
Yeah, but that's for sure. There's a lot of collectors out there like you, but as you said, not everybody can have a room dedicated to a CRT TV.
Yeah.
And there's most definitely a market for it. I think it's just going to... The thing is, there are so many products coming out like this.
I haven't seen anything like this before, really.
There's been, like, Kickstarters for, like...
This was one of them.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a lot of systems out there like this. But, I mean, I think in terms of quality, because there's so many, like, Retron wannabes out there and stuff, and a lot of them haven't been able to match the quality of, like, Retron's level, which Retron sucks. And the only thing that I've seen that's gotten the biggest amount of press is like the NT and the Super NT.
Yeah.
So if it can match something like that, it probably won't.
Because it's not hardware emulation.
Yeah. Well, even the Super NT is not complete hardware emulation.
Is it not?
It's emulation.
It's hardware emulation. So yeah. It's the same as the analog NT, which is it's hardware with chips program the same way that they were programmed on the SNES and NES. So it is, as far as you know, it's like if you cloned someone. As far as they know, they are that thing.
True.
So like if the Super Nintendo or the Super NT was self-aware, it would think that it was a Super Nintendo. Like,
yeah,
it's as close as you're ever gonna get.
That's why it's able to play like Super Game Boy and and Game Genie and all that stuff, or with no issues.
When it's putting out its stuff on the TV, it is a Super Nintendo.
It's a hard buy. Things like this always sound super exciting at first, and then you look at the price tag, and it's always a debate of whether or not it's truly worth it. Because it's just like, I can just hook up a nice computer to my TV at that point. And at the end of the day, is it really that important?
You can just download the ROMs for free.
I know that, but at the end of the day, like, the cartridges, you're sticking them into a system that's just doing the same exact thing that your PC's doing.
Yeah, that being said, though, I would like to say real quick, emulation is not good. People who don't have a room full of video games and play this shit all the time and have like the original hardware and stuff don't realize it.
Yeah.
But like I came over to your house one time, you had like a party and you had a Super Nintendo or you had your computer hooked up, I guess, with emulation, and you had Tetris Attack hooked up, and that's just a basic puzzle game. It's not a lot to do on that. And that's a game I've played for hundreds of hours. I know it very well. And immediately when I sat down, I was like, this is garbage, and stopped playing it. Like, it was just not even close to accurate.
Well, I mean, that's when it that's what I'm getting at with this, is that if it has good emulation abilities, because emulators are getting better in quality, and I think if we're getting Kickstarters and everything on this, I just hope we're investing more into more accurate emulation.
Well, for the record, this is something that is probably built from the ground up.
Right.
This is going to be... I'm sure this will be better. Playing your PS1 games on this machine will be better than playing them on an emulator on your computer. Even though my computer is probably 100 times more powerful than this machine, I'm sure that playing on this thing will probably be better than playing on my computer, because this thing was built from the ground up, no Windows on it, no nothing like that. It's not meant to do anything other than play these games.
Right.
And they've probably spent years tweaking it so it's, you know, so it runs well.
And so, or so we hope. That's right. What I mean.
Like, the interesting thing I'm curious about is Saturn, how they'd pull that off, because their Saturn emulation is terrible.
Yeah. If they continue to do stuff like this for other systems too, because even like obscure things, like there's like no, and not that anyone's like begging for this, but there's like no good 3DO emulator out there. Like, I know, but like...
Yeah, why isn't that on here? I mean, they could just add that in a firmware update.
That's what I'm saying, though. And like, CDI emulation is kind of still kind of spotty. And people might laugh at those suggestions, but when it comes to like game preservation and playing a lot of these old games, those systems in particular, especially like CDI, like they have terrible hardware. Well, everything about those systems are bad. But yeah, I still want to be able to play those games someday. Yeah. And I'm more interested in development of better emulation systems. And if it takes systems like this to do it, then I'm all for it, and I'm willing to buy the product. If this product truly does deliver what it's promising, I'd probably pick it up. And truthfully, I probably would download the firmware where I could eventually just download ROMs onto it and play games that way.
The problem is with the CDI and stuff that you're talking about, the problem with that is that, like, there has to be a market for it. Otherwise, it's not worth it for them to take the time to develop.
For sure.
So if you're only going to sell 100 more units and it's going to take you a year to develop the firmware or whatever to do it, that's why those aren't on there, probably.
No, I'm not saying that it should have it on there. I'm just saying that
it could.
That what really will set apart this apart from other... Because I feel like I see a news article every few months that's just like, this system is going to kill all retro consoles and everything. And it's just like, okay, great, but it's got to be high quality. Like the piece of shit Atari system that's coming out. I'm not interested in just a
the
system
Retron
that...
The Retron 77? Is that what you're talking about?
No, not that one. The actual official Atari.
Oh, that
Atari,
thing
Atari
that we don't
system.
Know anything about.
Yeah, we keep getting a bunch of empty promises. And the thing is, a lot of these Kickstarters are being successful, so there clearly is a market out there for systems like this. People do want these products to come out, because at the end of it, because we are looking at a future of these CD-based consoles, they're going to be harder and harder to come across working. And how many people are you really going to find out that who are going to repair your Sega CDX in like 20 years from now?
Yeah.
So I do think that it's very, especially disc rot, like emulation is going to be so important down the road for CD based systems, especially for disc rot alone.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what'll get me to buy the system day one. And Polymega, if you're out there listening to this, take notes. Just package it with a copy of Snatcher. And I'm in. All right, so on that note, we got to wrap this thing up, because my laptop's going to die, and we've been running real late on this one. So we don't want to bore people too long. And so if you made it this far, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Wait, what? You're not subscribed? Well, get the fuck out there and subscribe already.
Wow.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Seriously, we're trying to run a business here. We're trying to run a classic... You know, go to family-friendly podcast, and I'm trying to feed my dogs.
We're sitting here, like, stuffed full of sushi and half asleep right now doing this podcast for you guys, and you won't even click the subscribe button?
Come on, man. Click the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time. Bye.